DG, good morning. I always appreciate the time.
Good morning, Chris. Always good to be with you.
Before we get into the NCAA tournament, you were in Charlotte for the ACC tournament last week. Curious about your thoughts overall in the tournament as the Blue Devils of Duke capture another ACC crown.
Well, it was a blast. I mean, after the negative narrative surrounding the ACC, and understandably so, because it just has not been as good this year as it usually is, from Thursday forward, meaning the quarterfinals through the championship game, it was rocking and rolling at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte with a lot of fan bases really showing up big, including those of Duke and North Carolina right here in our state. And I give credit to the Blue Devils because, you know, I saw Cooper Flagg, you know, walking without a limp and asking John Shire if he could play later in those latter games. And John Shire held him out as a precaution. And Duke, thanks to the rest of that team, was able to win it all even without Cooper Flagg and without Malik Brown, who might be their best player off the bench. So credit to John Shire. He's now won two ACC tournaments in his 3 years as Coach K's successor. Con Knipple was the MVP, and deservedly so, another freshman for Duke who was just sensational. But Tyrese Proctor did his job. Sion James did his job. Kamon Malawach, the big guy, was fantastic. So it was a great example of players stepping up into even bigger roles than usual, all the way to cutting down the nets to the Blue Devils.
Blue Devils are the number two overall seed behind Auburn. Cooper Flagg expected to play in Raleigh this coming weekend. Do you think the Blue Devils can make a deep run in this year's tournament?
No doubt in my mind. They are one of the best teams in America. Those top two seeds in each quadrant are pretty darn good. So you never say never in terms of a Final Four or a national championship. The competition is just too tough to be sure about anything. But I'll be personally shocked if Duke is not at least in the Sweet 16, and they certainly have the firepower to win the whole thing.
Okay, four teams in the ACC get in: Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Clemson. 14 from the SEC, I believe. Just curious the perception of ACC basketball and your thoughts on the four teams besides Duke, the other three that got in.
Yeah, well, it is the lowest participation rate in the history of the ACC, meaning in this modern era, since it's been either a 64-team bracket or 68. So we're 40 years into that, Chris. And when I say participation rate, the ACC's baseline forever in this modern era has been one-third of their members get in. So when it was a 9-team league, it was at least three that got in. When it was a 12-team league, at least four teams got in. When it was a 15-team league, actually, these last 3 years in a row, exactly 5 out of 15 got in. And sometimes a lot more than one third got in over the years. I mean, heck, sometimes it was, you know, an 18 ACC and 6 got in, and that was sort of the standard. Well, you're an 18-team league now, and only 4 got in. So just numerically speaking, that's embarrassing. That it could have been 3 out of 18, with UNC ending up as the last at-large team in the entire field. If there was one more bid stealer in a conference tournament somewhere, the Tar Heels would have been left out, and it would have been 3 out of 18. Obviously, the SEC money is a factor here, but as the ACC has been losing quality coaches to retirement or resignation, the SEC has been adding quality coaches, but they've also been throwing around name, image, likeness money to a degree that the ACC has not, and I believe the ACC realized this as a problem when it was too late. And one quick fact for you, the SEC has about 10 players starting on NCAA tournament teams that they plucked directly from ACC rosters. They just saw a great player, threw a lot of money at him, and now that guy who used to play in the ACC is playing in the SEC. In reverse, there are almost no examples of the ACC signing a top player off of an SEC roster. Van Allen Lubin, the Tar Heel player they got from Vanderbilt, might be the closest example. So when those things happen, when one school devours, when one league devours the other on the transfer portal circuit, things like this can happen. But I think that the ACC will correct that in the offseason, and maybe this will just be a one-year blip for the ACC and the NCAA tournament.
Visiting with David Glenn of the North Carolina Sports Network, you can find his work at ncsportsnetwork.com. DG, what do you say to people who believe the only reason Carolina made the field of 68 is because Bubba Cunningham, their athletic director, was the chair of the selection committee?
I think that is reckless and really unfair conspiracy theory stuff that attacks the integrity of good people. And the bottom line is, if any person were looking at a grid of the factors that they consider, they would see not only that ugly 1-12 record in quad one games for the Tar Heels that has been repeated incessantly and understandably because it is a very important metric, but they would also see a dozen other metrics where the Tar Heels were better than most of those other bubble teams. So you have to expand the conversation a little bit. You have to remember that Bubba Cunningham did leave the room every time the Tar Heels were discussed. And you have to remember that those other bubble teams, West Virginia, Indiana, et cetera, Boise State, that ended up getting left out, they had warts on their resumes as well, including West Virginia, for example, the first team out. They had four big wins, and two of them came with a player who's now injured and hasn't been with them for months. And the committee's allowed to weigh that in. So the Tar Heels got lucky, Chris. There's no doubt about it. They got lucky that there weren't more bid stealers, and they got lucky that they were the one that got the benefit of the doubt when at least three other teams could have been that last team in.
All right, DG, changing gears on you as I let you go. It's been just over a week since Kevin Keats dismissed at NC State as the head basketball coach. Any updates on the coaching search for the Wolfpack?
Well, we know that they've talked to Will Wade of McNeese State, who is both a big winner but a controversial figure as well because of how he left LSU on probation and was found charged with five different level one NCAA violations for paying players and paying their girlfriends and lying to the NCAA, et cetera. But he has spoken to the Wolfpack. Former Wolfpack point guard Justin Gainey, who's now Rick Barnes' top assistant at Tennessee, also has spoken to the Wolfpack. Richard Pitino of New Mexico, Rick Pitino's son, I believe has also spoken to the Wolfpack. But what's happening right now, Chris, is that the Villanova job is open and some of those same guys are talking to Villanova. The UVA job is open and some of those same guys are talking to UVA. The Indiana job is open and some wonder if Brad Brunell of Clemson is going to take that job. Will Wade of McNeese is a Clemson grad, and some are wondering if Will Wade's waiting to see if Brad Brunell leaves for Indiana. So it's like it's four-dimensional chess right now, but that's where things stand.
The Texas job could be coming open too, I hear.
It could. The way that season ended at Texas maybe saved his job. Yeah. I'm not sure. But, yeah, of course, that's a very prominent athletic department and certainly a prominent coaching position if it ends up going that way.
Oh, yeah, I know you're going to be following all of it at ncsportsnetwork.com. David Glenn, always appreciate the time and the perspective, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, my friend. Enjoy the rest of March Madness.
You as well.